It's an amazing summer. Every 4 years, when we celebrate the Olympics, and as most of us know, in just 6 weeks, the 2016 Olympics will begin. Now is this time where all these athletes, swimmers and gymnasts and runners, golfers, you name the sport, they're getting a lot of this press time on TV. And I'm sure sports psychologists have their own answers. But what continues to be amazing to watch is how these athletes, and particularly the gymnasts and the swimmers and the runners, who really just jump on the big stage every 4 years, they have their own world championships. But it's not like other American sports, like football or basketball or even golf, that have seasons necessarily. These athletes train for 4 years straight for something that might be a 40-second race, a three-day competition, but no more than a couple of weeks of their favorite sport. So for 4 years, they train day in and day out. Hours upon hours, days upon days. So obviously they have to have some sort of determination and focus to stay so strong for so long for this one shot at the end of summer every 4 years. But then when you listen to them on TV, and certainly they, I'm sure they're trained and they have their talking points and they have their script. Nonetheless, what is their advice to their friends? And when asked, how do you approach this race? How do you approach this meet? How do you approach the Olympics? I just want to go out and have some fun. I just want to have some fun. So they have such an ease going into the world's greatest athletic stage, the most famous athletic stage in the world. They have this ease about just wanting to have fun. Yet they can commit their lives, thousands of dollars, hours upon hours, family. They commit all this, they sacrifice all this to get better. So they walk amazingly with the same habit that our Lord is trying to teach his followers today. And we don't hear it very often. The far majority of us, including myself, don't use it in our common speech. But it's the habit, or perhaps the virtue, of ambivalence. Ambivalence, the ability to hold two opposing emotions, two opposing thoughts at the same time. And the champion in the 20th century, and she was awarded for this, is Mother Teresa, that she could, day in and day out, live in one of the poorest countries in the world. She served the poorest and the sickest, the most disgusting people that humanity sees. People that doctors wouldn't even want to walk by. And then she'd come out of there, hungry, poor, smiling, as if she just won the Powerball. She had ambivalence. She didn't have a right ever to be angry. She never had a right or an excuse to be crabby or whiny. But how often do we have that, right? Whether it's our kids, our spouse, our bosses, traffic, weather, you name it, we always find this reason to be whiny or in a bad mood or to be down. But ambivalence, a great habit of the saints and Mother Teresa, and the very thing our Lord is trying to teach his apostles today, is characteristic of the kingdom of heaven. So you see this being played out because our Lord wants so badly for his followers to take the faith seriously, to have grit, to take the proclamation of the gospel to these homes, and if they're treated disrespectfully, just simply to walk away. Just walk away. If you're treated unkindly, walk away. If there's no peace there, shake the dust off your feet and walk away. So on one hand, take the faith seriously. It's the most serious thing in your lives. But on the other hand, you got to do so with a smile. Because you're going to be rejected. You're going to be told you're wrong. in the 21st century, you're going to be told you're offensive and you're a bigot for upholding the truth. And we see this all the time in the media, especially in the latest few years. So can we, as Catholics, as Christians, can we do this in our lives? I've said it before, and it's the words of Mother Teresa, there's nothing worse than a sad Catholic. There's nothing worse. That's just kind of, I'm Catholic, but they're just sad. But she said there's nothing more transforming than science, eloquence, and an argument, than a kind and happy Catholic who takes their faith so seriously, more serious than death, because it's our faith that gets us through death, right? And none of you, and I'm not going to hold an argument to death. Death is the most serious thing we go through. It's death. It's tough. But most of us come to one thing during death, and that's our faith. But friends, and certainly with respect to the greatest generation who have taught us many things, but the generation to follow and then my generation and the one coming after me, we are not good at this. Everything is casual. So whether it's the wallpaper in my bathroom, the kind of car I like, the kind of spaghetti I want to eat, the kind of paint I'm going to use, or the kind of religion I want to live, it's all just kind of whatever you want. But that's so foreign to the ways of Jesus Christ. He wanted to give his apostles this idea that what he's handing on to them is true. And it's a matter of life or death, heaven or hell. And to take it seriously, but to do so in such a way that you can kind of walk with ease and lightheartedness. And it seems that these Olympians, in some way, do a good job of that. That they can maintain such strong composure and commitment to race the best race of their lives. Yet they can come off the mat or the track or the pool, and they can smile and joke. Could you imagine the pressure? And these aren't 55-year-old professionals. These are 15, 16, 17-year-old juniors and seniors in high school. Now, this isn't a homily on sports psychology, but those athletes do hold ambivalence. The followers of Jesus Christ and Jesus himself was ambivalent when he ate with prostitutes and sinners. See, two opposing habits. I am God, I'm perfect, and I ask for perfection. Okay, I'm going to eat with the most imperfect people in the world. Mother Teresa, okay, I am the poorest of the poor, yet I will with a smile do more than the richest man in the world can do with his money, because I have the power of God. Friends, Jesus gave the power of himself and his Father to his followers today in the gospel. And he wants us to give us that same power so that we can live our faith as best as we can.